Hello, I'm Pat McGurn, Special Counsel at ISS, and welcome to the latest installment of our Bulletin podcast series. Today we'll get some mid-season insights into 2020 season contested meetings. I think joining me to talk about some emerging trends in the space and to preview some high-profile contests are Special Situations Research Team Head Cristiano Guerra and Nelson Serratti, who heads our contested meeting efforts in Europe and Asia. Let's get started. Cristiano, a strange question. I don't think I ever wanted to ask it to you, but what does the pipeline of contested activity in the U.S. look like during global coronavirus pandemic?
Hi, Pat. Yeah, so deal activity is way down, not surprisingly. In this environment, cash considerations go a long way in smoothing over any warts on a deal from a seller's perspective. On the flip side, of course, cash deals may be giving acquirers a case of buyer's remorse, prompting some to look for a way out. For the most part, proxy fights are also down this year, as some activists have walked away from their campaigns, and there have been lots of settlements. Carl Icahn's campaign at Occidental Petroleum, for instance, settled with board seats, and the Icahn-inspired Xerox hostile bid for HP Inc. was also put on ice. However, some proxy contests remain, and we're seeing contested elections move to the virtual realm, starting with Tegna's annual meeting on April 30th. Although this was uncharted territory, the vote took place without any apparent problems. Standard General was hoping to unseat 4 of 12 members of the Tegna board, but was unsuccessful.
So I guess the COVID-19 has really led to an epic wave of settlement fever. But what contested situations remain in the pipeline?
Well, the 2020 battle cry for dissidents appears to be go big or go home. Interestingly, net of the settlements and abandoned challenges, what we've been left with in the contested meeting pipeline is a significant uptick in the number of fights for corporate control this year. In fact, dissidents are seeking more than half the seats on targeted boards at an unprecedented rate this year. We're seeing control contests across the entire SSR landscape, from nanocaps to large corporations, from first-time activists to highly experienced players. Since the beginning of the year through the end of June, we're looking at 6 or more contests for board control in the US. By comparison, there were 5 control fights in all of 2019, though 3 of those involved nanocap OTC companies, and 4 in all of 2018.
So if you can tell, what's behind this unusual surge in control fights?
Well, control situations can be difficult to settle. When the two sides are tussling over who gets to dictate future corporate strategy, there's often limited room for common ground. It's one thing when a dissident asks for 4 seats on a 10-member board and the company offers 2. There's room for compromise. The stakes are higher when dissidents seek to replace most of, if not the entire board. Now, having said that, Pat, 2 of the control fights we've seen so far did settle. USA Technologies handed over control to Hudson Executive before the vote in a settlement that allowed the CEO to keep his position, at least for now. And at HC2 Holdings, the dissident abandoned its consent solicitation and settled for 2 of 6 seats. In this case, the company also promised to add another large shareholder to the board, who eventually will be appointed chairman. But in terms of what's really driving these contests, it's important to consider the risks that activists, especially those required to build large stakes, often take. In the best of market environments, there is always the risk that the problems the dissident has identified at a target company may run deeper than anticipated. And those concerns are magnified in this volatile environment. Activists can generate outsized returns if the markets rebound, but they can also see their investments go to zero fast. So in situations where the survival of the company is uncertain at best, it's understandable that the dissidents may want to make sure that they'll have the opportunity, if they get on the board, to implement their turnaround strategy. The big question, of course, is, are things so bad that rank and file shareholders will be willing to hand the keys to the corporation over to the dissidents in the absence of any offer of a control premium?
So what are the next control fights that are actually going to go to vote?
Well, barring last-minute settlements, the next contest to go to votes will be GCP Applied Technologies, which faces a campaign by Starboard Value on May 28th, and Matt Cali Realty, which is facing its second consecutive contest by Bow Street on June 10th. So in similar plot twists, the dissidents secured seats on both targeted boards last year. Starboard received two for its designees at GCP Applied Technologies through a settlement, and Bow Street won four at Matt Calley's ballot box. And this year, the boards of both companies decided not to renominate some or all of the directors nominated by these dissidents, even though they were duly elected by shareholders last year. In response, the dissidents raised the stakes by seeking the lion's share of seats on each board, 8 of 10 at GCP and 8 of 11 at Matt Calley.
Interesting. I think so. Is the pandemic directly impacting the contests that are going to a vote?
There's no better test of corporate leadership than a crisis. So in that sense, it's been very interesting to spend some time during our engagement calls discussing how specific management teams are responding to the pandemic. That's not to say, Pat, that we have the ability after just one call to conclusively rate a company's response to a global pandemic. But the decisions made over the last several weeks or months can provide useful insight, especially as a backdrop to a proxy fight. The challenges are going to vary by company, industry sector, and market served. And not all corporations have been able to transition seamlessly to working remotely as we were able to at ISS. And many management teams are now dealing with the existential dilemma of when and how to reopen while considering the health and welfare of their employees. While it's not an easy problem to solve, a company's crisis response can demonstrate forethought, or to some extent serve as a reflection of the company's views on ESG issues. These factors can really help color our discussions and help us weigh the arguments that we hear from both sides.
Interesting insights. Christiana, if you would, just for a moment, just gaze into your SSR crystal ball, and do you see any signs of green shoots in contested activity for the rest of the year?
I think many activists will opt to sit on dry powder for a while longer until some of the uncertainty related to the pandemic subsides. And once the tide begins to rise, that's when the underperformers will really begin to stand out. And as a result, we expect 2021 to be a banner year for activism, Pat.
Thanks, Christiano. Now let's move over to Europe. And Nelson, how about contestant activity in Europe? Any new trends emerging?
Yes, thanks, Pat. I think the big change in shareholder activism in Europe in the last couple of years was the high number of mega cap and big cap companies targeted by activists. This year, one could mention Third Point at eyeglass maker Essilor Luxottica or British insurer Prudential. But other than that, really, campaigns have generally not translated into proxy fights for board seats or even settlements. French media and retail conglomerate Lagardère was one major exception, with Amber Capital seeking board control. The convoluted proxy fight included two billionaires, activist Vincent Bolloré taking a 10% stake, and Marc Ladrit taking a 3.5% stake, reportedly to support management. It also featured two prominent politicians on opposing slates, former French President Nicolas Sarkozy and former Italian Prime Minister Enrico Letta. It is notable that some dissident nominees got as much as 45% support, but none of the dissidents won seats in the end. Some activists seem to have taken a step back during the COVID-19 crisis, as Edward Bramson of Sherborne, who only ran a vote no campaign against Barclays Bank CEO Chess Staley, accusing him of links to sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. Last year, Bramson went further by nominating himself to the Barclays board, though he failed.
Is the coronavirus pandemic impacting any other fights in Europe?
Well, activists and companies usually have divergent views on strategy, and the COVID-19 crisis may accentuate those differences. For example, low-cost carrier EasyJet's founder and biggest shareholder, Sir Stelios Hadjioannou, is trying to remove 4 out of 11 directors, including the chairman, the CEO, and the CFO of the company. If Stelios is right, the airline could end up in bankruptcy by the end of the year, or at least risk causing massive dilution to shareholders by raising capital at very low share prices. That is, unless EasyJet cancels an aircraft order from Airbus. The company has taken measures that seem in line with those taken by other carriers, and actually it is better capitalized than most airlines in Europe. The open question is whether the fleet will have to be grounded for 9 months or longer because of the pandemic. Stelios is even offering a £5 million reward for any whistleblower who can help force the carrier to scrap an order for more than 100 new Airbus planes in case bribes are proven.
Yeah, that's one to watch for sure. Nelson, just moving over to Asia, how much contested activity are we tracking in that region?
Yes, well, Japan has been the hot spot for activists this year. Three proxy fights for board seats so far this year, and actually three more coming up in June, including large cap companies like Kirin, the second largest brewer in Japan, and Sekisui House, a $20 billion market cap builder where two former insiders run a campaign. There will also be two repeat proxy fights, Kyushu Railway and Shinsei Bank. It is important to say that support for activist campaigns from institutional investors has been on the rise, with some nominees getting around 40% of the votes. Remarkably, this year was the first time in many years that a foreign activist, Oasis Management, won control, albeit of a microcap company, Suncorp. While there was a precedent from more than a decade ago when Steel Partners was able to remove a board from a Japanese company, the dissident had not proposed replacements back then, and it had a sizable 30% stake, while Oasis had a single-digit stake at Suncorp.
Great, thanks. That's it for our May Bulletin podcast on the global contested meeting scene. My thanks to Nelson and Cristiano, and thanks to you, our listeners. We hope that you enjoyed this podcast. Watch your email for the next installment, and in the meantime, send any feedback or questions to bulletin@issgovernance.com. Goodbye for now, and stay safe.